Well, I was jerking you guys around on this story about this band splitting up. And the band I was talking about was, okay, a big who cares, Creed. But the story is amazing. This Scott Stapp, I mean, we all kind of knew he was a major wiener. Just a major wiener. But, wow, did this guy lose it.
Woo!
No.
And Rolling Stone really got some great access, and they've done quite a story.
Well, angels heard.
Listen to that stupid voice.
Yeah.
Is this the song he sang to Jagger on stage? He brought Jagger on stage, held him, and sang to him.
He held his face. He held Mick's face.
I love you, Jagger. I'll see you a couple days, baby.
And he had to leave Jagger with... They had a couple of nannies on the tour. He had to leave Jagger. Had 18 pages of notes on instructions how to take care of
God
Jagger.
God almighty, you believe that?
Ugh. I despise Jagger. Pages. I don't even know Jagger. I hate him.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it's brought Mick Jagger down a notch, the fact that this kid is
named after Jagger, yeah.
I don't think there's anything... I dislike more about Mick Jagger than that Scott Stapp named his kid Jagger. At my mouth's not open.
Yeah.
So funny.
And really, you know, when you watch him sing, his mouth really is not open. It isn't. Remember we were laughing, they were performing on top of some building. I forget what the occasion was.
In Vegas.
Yeah, and he was in his mouth never open, ever.
Words today. I say my voice is strange.
It's like he's at the dentist the whole time with cotton in his mouth.
Begin to shake and clench my jaw, wrinkle my face, my mouth's not open, it doesn't sound right, will I mash my teeth, I mumble everything, my mouth's not open.
What a great song. I love this parody. This is one of the better ones.
It's really hard for me to hear the other song. I would sing this song with the other song.
Every time. Every time. It sounds exactly like him.
That they broke up, and you know, things were going pretty well for this band when they split up. Although the tour, things got a little crazy. There was that show in Chicago. In fact, a class action suit was started by some fan because the way this thing was described. Now, I never really heard a proper description of it. They have a pretty solid account of what exactly he did in here. I didn't know it was this bad, but I knew it had to be bad for these fans to want to sue. That was the final straw that broke the camel's back, I guess. But the story in Rolling Stone starts with Scott Stapp deciding to kill himself. And that sounds to me, after reading the story, that sounds to me like one of his better decisions or thoughts or concepts during this period. Because what a moron this guy. Oh. Now, fortunately, naturally, I wouldn't wish death on anyone. Not even Scott Stapp. Let's see, here's how this goes. The weather tour had ended with a disastrous concert in Chicago. He was visibly intoxicated, at one point lying on his back in the middle of a song. He admits, no, I don't even recall doing that. I don't recall doing that. After this tour, he was dropped off at home in Orlando, where he lived in a plush gated community. I was insane. You saw Ray? I was shivering. All this stuff was coming out of my body. While on tour, he'd been drinking heavily. He was addicted to Percocet. He also was taking Xanax in some big numbers and big doses of an anti-inflammatory steroid for his throat. He comes home, and he quits everything. Cold turkey. Nothing.
Whoa.
No help.
Yikes.
At that point, he says, I wanted to end my life. Not surprising. I mean, if he's
you're not kidding.
He's hooked on all that stuff.
Yeah, and he's just going to stop cold turkey? I think he'd be in a fetal position.
Except he didn't stop drinking. That was his, I guess, to kind of fight through it. One evening after polishing off a bottle of Jack Daniels, he removed two firearms from his collection, an MP5 SD3 and an MP5K. Why does he need two guns to kill himself? What an idiot. You need one gun, you moron. What's he struggling to decide which one to use?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, this one, let's see.
He likes them both, you know.
This one will leave a bigger hole, but this one's a little more accurate.
Yeah, I'll just graze myself with this one and then really do myself on this one.
He hadn't spoken to anyone from Creed. Oh, just, these guys can't stand him at this point.
Oh, boy.
He'd become convinced everyone involved with the band wanted him to die, so he would become a Kurt Cobain martyr type. Wrong. Wrong. No, people would not have been that sad. I mean, it's not even close. How dare you say you would have been a Kurt Cobain martyr
type? Yeah, really. It would have just been a little page 5A kind of thing.
Okay, so listen to this. Before he pulled the trigger, no, I'm just so inclined to scream fake at this part of the story.
Okay.
Before he pulled the trigger, and he's just about to really kill himself.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked up.
Anybody, he had a vision?
Anybody care, anybody care to guess?
Yeah, he had a vision of some sort.
Close. Saw Jagger. Saw a picture of Jagger.
Fake. Oh, jeez.
Fake! Yeah, there's Jagger.
I
hate you, Jagger. I hate you.
I love you, Jagger.
I hate you. Oh, my God. Look at all those pictures.
Yeah.
Kid. Oh, God. Why does he think, you know, is there,
everybody in Hollywood thinks that their kid is special, that all we want to do is look at pictures of their kid, no matter if it's Apple, Jagger, whoever.
You wouldn't want to spit on their kid. What makes him think we all are so dying to know all about his kid?
They all think that. Angelina Jolie, all of them.
Hey, it's half of me, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Half of me. 50% of me. Of course you want to meet Jagger.
Yeah.
Come here, Jagger.
Yeah.
You saw a picture of Jagger. Yeah, right. The product of a troubled marriage. Jagger, then four, was staying with Stapp's mother at the time, and in an instant, I just turned and shot the house up. And I broke down. I was like, I was about to blow my head off. Even this wake-up call turned out to be short-lived. In the ensuing months, Stapp would flee to Miami.
He could never get the gun in his mouth. Have to put it against his temple.
He goes to Maui, where he became addicted to OxyContin.
I thought he was quitting a minute ago.
Yeah, he did, but he's back on.
Oh, boy.
By the middle of 2004, Creed broke up. Stapp cleaned up long enough to get engaged and record his solo debut, The Great Divide. Last fall, when it came time to promote the album, he began to self-destruct all over again. On Thanksgiving, after announcing his engagement to his fiancée's family, he got in a fist fight with the members of 311.
Oh, jeez.
At a hotel bar in Baltimore. According to 311's front man, Stapp was doing shots, being loud and obnoxious, made a disrespectful comment to my wife that I'd rather not repeat. Drummer Chad Sexton asked Stapp to settle down. The members of 311 claimed Stapp sucker punched him.
Oh, man.
And in the follow-through, hit Martinez's wife, the front man. A few days later, Stapp taped an episode of Casino Cinema. Is there any way to see this? This episode of Casino Cinema he shot? Because this sounds like a keeper. You know, this has got to show up on those 101 crazy TV moments or something. This has got to show up. Listen to this. It's a celebrity poker show on Spike TV.
Okay.
He was bombed. During the episode, Stapp slurs his words, curses incessantly, claims Dave Grohl has a little word that rhymes with block.
Okay. How is it that he knows this, or he's just saying it?
I don't know. He's just saying it, but all of it's going over.
Yeah,
unbelief.
Yeah.
demonstrates a bizarre series of kung fu moves and demands a kiss from co-host Beth Ostrowski.
Oh, my God.
Later telling her, my son thinks babies come from my sack, and I make more money than Howard.
God.
After watching the show, Stapp enters rehab. Now, a few days after Christmas, he's back in Baltimore, sitting in the finished basement of his fiancée's parents' suburban home. He's dressed casually, faded jeans, tight black jersey with a white-knit Chicago Bulls cap pulled down low on his forehead. Now, could you be any more cliché? His long hair tufting out to his shoulders. His mother-in-law brings sandwiches and homemade brownies. There's also a leather-bound Bible on the coffee table with Stapp's name etched on the cover. He takes two heaping scoops of sugar in his coffee. His hands are shaking as he works the spoon. His eyes, large and sad, even when he's making a joke, begin to well up. He cocks his head and stares harder at me, ignoring the tears in a way that makes them more awkward. Eventually, his voice cracking, he says, before all this happened, I think the last time I cried was 1991 when my grandfather died. A few minutes later, he adds, it's weird. You can sell millions of records, be showered with all this love, and still feel despised and unwanted. That's what I felt. I made a lot of mistakes. I'm not proud of them. These aren't tears of sadness. I'm happy to get this out. Stapp is frontman. Stood out, though not always to the band's benefit. Irony deficient, Jesus-haired, and often shirtless in a way that reminded people of the guy from Lord of the Dance. Stapp came off as arrogant in interviews and preening on stage. And his lyrics, while inspirational to legions of fans, sounded embarrassingly sincere Christian rock to the unconverted. Band formed in 95. He'd been raised in a strict Pentecostal family in Florida, forbidden to listen to rock. After leaving home at 17, he began drinking, using drugs, and became obsessed with the Doors. In Tallahassee, he reconnected with high school friend Mark Tremonti, who turned out to be the guitar player he needed. They recorded their debut, My Own Prison, for less than $6,000 in 97. First debut album in history to produce four number one rock songs. By the time of the follow-up, Human Clay, his personal life had grown increasingly hectic. He married his first wife, Hillary, 6 months after they met. They divorced 15 months later, but not before Jagger was born. He has sole custody of Jagger.
Is that right?
Yeah.
With a background like that.
No, that doesn't sound like such a great idea.
Oh, my God.
But then again,
the judge was a fan, huh?
It is Jagger.
I can't believe that.
Well,
wow.
What does that say about her? I mean, what kind of...
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, one of the last times they saw each other in 2002, she was arrested for hitting Stapp in the face with a cell phone. Nice. Nice couple. I guess we'll see him on Cops any day now. According to Stapp, the nasty breakup, responsibility of single fatherhood, and the success of the band soon proved overwhelming. Started drinking, taking prescription pills, tried to get clean, did a celebrity detox at a luxury hotel in Hollywood. Didn't last. There are a few people who get so crazy when they party, they have a nickname. Oh, that's not him. They have a nickname for their alter ego, says Tremonti. With Scott, it was Rick. I don't know where the name came from, but it was like, uh-oh, here comes Rick. Basically, Scott was a cool, normal guy, says former Creed sound engineer Kirk Kelsey, but fame caused the biggest destruction of his personality. The more power he got, the worse it got. His ego raged. After shows, he'd ensconce himself in the corner of crowded college town bars, ordering his bodyguards to bring over girls and keep everyone else away.
Oh, man.
He constantly threatened to quit the band, saying things like, I'm going into acting or politics. This is just a hobby. He bragged about the number...
Oh, what an ass.
I know, it's really bad.
Oh, man.
He bragged about the number of fights he'd been in and drunkenly challenged people to trade punches.
Oh, wow.
He was a time bomb. One night after Kelsey critiqued Scott's vocal performance, Stapp playfully tapped the sound man on the cheek a couple times and suddenly gave him a real slap. He walked away before a stunned Kelsey could react, later bragging he had bitch-slapped the much bigger man.
Jeez.
It's funny, says Tremonti, how many people come out of the woodwork after a relationship is severed and say how much they hated your singer. Every band that ever opened for us pretty much said, yep, tour was great, we loved opening for you, but Scott never even looked at us. The Mayfield 4 opened for us on one tour. I was talking to their bass player after show. Scott came over and asked him to get him a Coke. He thought he was the caterer.
Oh, God.
Woo.
Oh, man.
Rock stars who had themselves been the objects of derision were delighted by the appearance of a singer more hated than them and quickly, somewhat pathetically, started piling on. Fred Durst taunted Stapp at a 2000 concert. Dexter Holland of The Offspring began wearing an Even Jesus Hates Creed t-shirt. Things got worse when it came time to tour for Weathered. Kelsey, who co-produced the album, says, we'd have shows scheduled, suddenly we'd have a couple weeks off instead. It was a Scott's act together kind of thing. Get Scott's act together kind of thing. I assume he was getting de-stressed out. He insists his health problems were very real. When the tour finally resumed, he says he contracted pneumonia, had developed nodules on the vocal cords that could have ended his career. I showed the band documented medical reports, but they were being told other things by management. I think to keep pressure on me to tour, someone actually stood up at a meeting, I'm not going to say who, and said, I don't care, I've got an effing house and a wedding to pay for. Stapp was having anxiety attacks, became isolated. He also alleges that shady rock doctors were brought on the scene improperly prescribing meds to keep the tour going.
Oh, I'm sure he didn't like that at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Any kind of medicine to keep him going.
I'm sure that was terribly upsetting to him. I'm sure they didn't give him anything he wanted.
Yeah, amphetamines.
According to three doctors I've seen since them, Stapp said, hang on to something. Get ready to barf.
Mm.
According to three doctors I've seen since then, says Stapp, I shouldn't be alive.
Oh, I hate that.
Shut up.
Oh, I hate that when somebody says that.
God.
Oh. It always implies, too, that it's just meant to be that they're still alive. It's their destiny. Lord has spared them because they're going to be doing something great and worthwhile.
That Chicago show.
Should have been alive, man.
15 minutes before we went on stage, I saw Scott. Staggering, slurring his words. I looked behind him. There's a bottle of Jack, half drunk. I didn't even look at him again until we were on stage because I wanted to wring his neck. He got all the words wrong, walked off stage after five songs. I had to get on the mic and say, sorry, I'll be right back. This is Tremonti. Backstage, Scott's laying on the couch with his eyes closed. I said, what the hell are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. I thought the show was over. Upon returning to the stage, Stapp removed his shirt and shoes, but not his socks, and lay on his back. Says Kelsey, at one point he's walking backwards while singing. He fell over a monitor. You could see his socks flapping in the air. He was singing the words of Arms Wide Open to Higher and the words of Higher to Arms Wide Open.
Oh, no way.
Two of our biggest songs. I don't blame the crowd for being mad. That was the most embarrassing hour and a half of my life. My problems were not what ended Creed, Stapp insists. Creed was ended by egos and people wanting to do their own thing and bad decision making. You got family members whispering in people's ears saying, you're not getting enough credit. In every interview I did, I'd say, this is easy to do when you're playing with the best guitar player in the world. I meant it. I still think he's a genius, but Mark was never happy. He wanted to do his own thing. Tremonti formed a new band, Alter Bridge, with the other members of Creed. Yeah, they were in here. The only reason to do a fourth album would have been to be greedy. We got into this to make music we were proud of, not to be the laughing stock of the entire industry because of our singer. We wanted to help the guy, but we'd been through that game so many times. Eventually, you know, you're not your brother's keeper.
God.
We had 100 people in that organization that relied on us. After a while, it's like, are we going to live our lives for this one person? And you decide, you know what? I'm removing this cancer.
Oh, what a drag. That's something. Everybody wants to be somewhere.
After the band's collapse, Stapp checked himself into a rapid detox facility near Laguna Beach for an expensive, controversial procedure in which opiates are drained from the patient's body within 24 hours.
Ooh.
In 2004, he moved to a waterfront mansion in Miami Beach. Eventually, I retired. He says, I'd fired everyone who was involved with Creed. I didn't want anything to do with music. The entire press and industry hated me, so what was the point? Instead, he coached Jagger's football team, read film scripts, and while hailing a cab in Manhattan, met his fiance, Jacqueline something, a pretty Jordanian-American who was Miss New York in 2004. Of course he learned some hot thing.
Yeah.
He managed to stay sober for a record 7 months until he returned to the studio. And ironically, was to record a song for the compilation inspired by the Passion of Christ. Demons reared their heads in terms of partying. He said, I didn't have any boundaries. Today, the sober staff is friendly and humble. I think everything worked out the way it was supposed to. Mark's happier. I'm sober. There's still phone calls to be made. People I need to say something to. But everyone from Creed, who I've offended or hurt, I ask their forgiveness. After his wedding in February, he will launch his first dry tour. They're going to have to send a sobriety coach with him.
Oh.
The Great Divide, by the way, has sold 300,000 copies.
Oh.
Solo album.
Oh, boy.
He says that's great considering how little promotion it's had.
He says he could foresee a Creed reunion someday. Tremont, he says, fans shouldn't hold their breath. I haven't listened to a Creed song in years. I can't stand it. I wouldn't want to play those songs again. It was a nightmare.
Uh-oh.
When people from that era get together, it's like a convention of people who went through NAMM.
Oh, my God, what a disaster.
Just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I have to say, they had some decent songs.
Yeah, I mean, they did.
They had
yeah.
the hooks, they well, had the yeah. production, you know.
Yeah. Well,
but what a dumbass.
Started off good, and then he ruined it. God, how often do these lead singers end up wrecking these bands? They get all carried away and arrogant, out of control, and down the ship goes.
Wow. That's really something.
Jeez,
what a self-destruction.
Blowout.
Amazing.
Yeah.